We have a development here, and not an insignificant one, city limits. Our friend Andrew just walked in here, our social media guy.
Yeah.
And said he has been in touch with Rivers Casino, where Rick Springfield is playing.
Yes.
And the request is in, two requests, actually. One, that Rick Springfield insert Malzy's name into that song. Is the song I've Done Everything for You, is that the name of the song?
I'm going to make sure so that I don't sound dumb.
Okay. That he insert Malzy's name into the song during his performance. And two, that he join us perhaps on the air before his concert.
It is I've Done Everything for You.
I've Done Everything for You.
Just confirming.
And if he did, we could either sing it for him live or play the clips of Bob and I singing it, and he could judge them. Maybe as a way to bump up the interest. I don't know. I don't know what the concert is selling like right now. Maybe he doesn't need that. But either way, we could certainly do that. Would you welcome Rick Springfield on the show?
1,000%. You know what it would make me think of, Joe? The
what?
Next edition of Austin and Joe Tries, singing with Rick Springfield.
That would be incredible. Do you think he would like Bob's version or my version better?
I think he would probably like Bob's version better.
Can we...
Now, do you like
I love that.
Do you like your first version better? Or do you like your second version better?
Well, I've told you the first version was just off the cuff. The second version was after I went home and actually practiced and realized I needed a pause. I needed to emphasize I, everything, and Malzy, and I needed a little lilt after I came back from the pause. So the second one for sure.
Yes.
I've done everything for Malzy. He's done nothing for me.
And all together now at the same time.
I've done everything for Malzy. He's done nothing for me.
Perfect harmony.
I think Rick Springfield would be blown away by that, that we have honored him like that, and that a guy who, frankly, is bigger than him, and that's Bob Pompiani, is singing that. I think Bob's even bigger than him nationally.
You'd think it would be more of a compliment than Rick Springfield. Look at these guys trying to imitate my song. Put their own little parody on it.
I mean, there's only one way to find out, and that's to get Rick Springfield in the building.
Let's do it.
And if not, to at least get him one time. I mean, in that song, he says that verse, that chorus, I guess, probably 10 times, right? Does he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, multiple times.
If just once he could put Malzy's name in there, I mean, it would be historic, wouldn't it?
It would be almost as historic as you trying to get incrinculant into the dictionary.
I mean, that's a great example. I got incrinculant said at a pirate news conference unsolicited by the manager of the team after they beat the Cardinals. Don't ever underestimate the power of this show, City Limits.
Well, and Pomp said it on a Steeler preseason game too, I remember.
I know. I mean, this stuff happens. Where there's a will, there's a way. Easier to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. So we have a call in to Rick Springfield's people through Rivers Casino. I think he's going to come over here. What else during the day? What else is he going to have to do? I mean, he can go to the casino, I guess, for a little while if he likes to do that. We'll pick him up, right? Will you pick him up?
Sure. Whatever works.
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful. Artie Smith just talked.
He did.
Anything interesting?
Yeah, he was talking about load management, which seems to be the key phrase of the day.
Yes.
And Arthur Smith previously has done this, he said today.
I've done it with Derrick Henry. You know, I've been out there and played. I went out there all third downs, and he got plenty of touches. Did it with A.J. Brown early. Certain things, and tried to mix and match and maximize things or set things up. And that was a little bit early. Still played the majority of snaps. He's still, I believe, you know, depending on what metric you're using, seventh in targets from passing downs or from passing opportunities in the league.
Yeah, the issue isn't the season as a whole. It's the other night, Dr. Smith. And I went back and looked at A.J. Brown's percentage of snaps after, let's say, his second year in the league. And remember, Pickens was at 59% the other night, the lowest number of his career. This is incredible. Everybody's in on this? This is like some sort of, what's the word, gaslighting here.
Word of the day.
Everybody's in on it? reporters asking framed questions about load management. Arthur Smith talking about it. Pickens talking about it like this was normal the other night. Your offense sucks. You're not doing anything. So let's have your best player watching from the sidelines. Makes sense to everybody? Yep. A.J. Brown, his second year in the league, 81%, 71, 84, 93, 94, 82, 75, 81, 81, 86. There was one game at 56%, 84, 76, and 90. I don't know what happened in that one game. Maybe it was snap management, or maybe he left hurt, or maybe it was a blowout. Let me see here. The score of that game was 31-10 against Jacksonville. Might that have had something to do with it? This is ridiculous, really, honestly. He got benched the other night, okay? Any other explanation is ludicrous. You're going to tell me that we're going to have to go back and look at A.J. Brown's snap counts now to tell us what happened? And then Derrick Henry, he did have lots of games with low snap counts. That's apples and oranges. Was he also their third down back? I mean, are you out of the game on third downs?
Right.
Games you have to pass to catch up? That's not relatable here. A.J. Brown is more relatable. And even if there were a couple of games like that, Mike Tomlin spoke in terms of saving Pickens for late in games and I guess later in the season, which again would make him the first number one receiver in the history of professional football to be put on a snap count to preserve him for later in the season. Get out of here with this. Please.
They just have really got all their ducks in a row on this one, don't you think? Like,
watch your language there, or George will wear it on his face next week.
Yes. So, I don't know. To me, it just seems like they knew, because Tomlin was asked the questions beforehand. There had to have been a conversation, whether it had been Monday or Tuesday, that, look, you're going to get asked this. We know this is the only thing you're going to be asked. We know Artie's going to be asked.
Imagine if Tomlin got in front of the whole team. Said, listen, you guys are going to be asked, coaches, everybody, we're all going to be asked about George's snap management this week, about why he didn't play a lot the other night. Just say it was load management, okay? Everybody. The funny thing is, the players haven't said that. The players basically admitted that there's a problem here. So, what is going on here, Limits? What is happening? The players are acknowledging that there's an issue with George Pickens. The coaches aren't. That's what's happening. Pat Freiermuth the other night indirectly, and by the way, Limits, get off the phone for a second. Tell that guy to hold. Please tell him to hold. We have more important matters.
All right, what we got?
Did you hear Tirico and Collinsworth the other night? Or maybe it was who was the sideline reporter? I can't remember. Melissa Stark. One of them said during the broadcast that Freiermuth told them during the week that that's how you pronounce his name, Freiermuth.
Freiermuth.
To which then whoever was talking to him said, well, what about all the fans? Like, you're not going to deny them the ability to say, Muth, are you? And he said, of course not. You know, basically either one works. But we now have it on the record forevermore for posterity's sake. That this dude's name is Pat Freiermuth, okay? It's Pat Freiermuth.
Muth. Is that any better? You like Muth.
I like that.
You ever play Pokemon? There was Mew and Mewtwo?
No.
Muth.
No, my favorite game was always Pac-Man, which is still very satisfying to play, is it not?
Mine too. I love Pac-Man. I love it. Every time I go to the arcade, I find the Pac-Man machine, and you can find me there for hours.
But the point here. The point here is that Freiermuth, after indirectly ripping Pickens the other day, tried to soften it yesterday by saying you have to understand where he's coming from. But he also said at the end of the day, he also has to understand this is a team sport. So the players themselves are acknowledging that there is an issue here. Calvin Austin. George, being a star in this league, he faces a lot more than maybe I face. We're all together at the end of the day. It's about having trust in each other. People go through real life stuff just sticking together. So he, even in all that, he's acknowledging that something is happening with Pickens. Mount Washington. I know his actions probably weren't the right thing to do at the time. Everybody's acknowledging that.
Right.
But we're going to continue this ruse of snap management? Even Artie's in on it?
Well, because it's the guys at the top.
Even Artie? I'm talking Artie Smith, not Art Rooney II.
Right, I know. I mean, it's those guys that aren't going to come out and... You know, I've started to notice something. Does it seem like there's a common pattern in this city with this regard, like not wanting to come out and just deliver the accountability section, lay down the law a little bit?
Yes. And I think it's happening with the Penguins, too. And it's not that Evgeny Malkin is doing anything, you know, wrong. He didn't wear open blanking always on his stick tape the other night or last night. But I think there's definitely a reluctance to kick him off the first power play, quite frankly. He was an issue last year. He may have been the issue. Maybe Carlson, too. But Malkin stands out. And I think Mike Sullivan doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to pull him off the first power play. Like I said last night, thankfully for me, I forgot to tape the game, and when I came home, I tuned in, and I swear to you, right away, right? As soon as I turned on the television in the man cave, the Penguins were on a power play losing 4-0, and maybe 10 minutes left. The first thing I saw seconds after I turned on the TV was Malkin throw a cross-ice pass on the power play to nobody, springing the other guys for a shorthanded breakout. It became a puck race between whoever was the Ranger player and Letang. The guy tipped it past Letang and scored a crap goal on Jari. So I thought, three issues this season. Malkin, the power play, maybe even a little bit of Letang, although I think he was hurt last year, and Jari all manifested themselves within 2 seconds of me turning on the TV. So I turned off the TV and didn't watch anymore. But to answer your question, this multi-sport lack of accountability in this town, Shelton the same way. Shelton is much or more than anybody, by the way. That's a great point by you, my little limitless wonder. Shelty watches O'Neill Cruz watch the ball off the bat, hit off the wall, and not run out of the box. The Yankees, their manager benched a guy, I forget who, for that exact scenario. Same with Rowdy Tellez. He did the same thing. And maybe it would do some good for Shelty to stand on the top step of the dugout and yell at somebody, or at least quietly bench somebody and then admit to it later instead of saying Rowdy was on load management there. Yeah, it might have seemed like he didn't run out of the box and I immediately benched him. But no, he's just on load management. Take accountability, exact accountability. I'm with you on that. Sully, Shelty, and Tomlin.
All too common. It's just all too common.
Like, what a point you've made here.
I'm not asking them to just come out and rip players and just, you know, make a mockery of them. Like, nobody's saying that. But still, there has to be some type of messaging that's delivered, whether it be in a press conference, anywhere, just to know that, look, this is an issue. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but, I mean, man, it just seems like nothing is being done to fix any of this other than what's internal, and we don't know what that is.
This is one of the most incrinculant and salient points you've ever made. It is a pattern.
I'm growing up in front of your eyes, huh?
It is a pattern. I think Sully is reluctant to demote a franchise icon. And who knows? Maybe they'll be right. It's one game, but it's really not one game. The power play last year, and I mean this, and I'd like to see a study done on this, and perhaps I'll perform it with your help, was one of the most, based on talent level and pedigree on hand, was one of the most embarrassing power plays in the history of the National Hockey League. To finish 31st in the league. You go find me another power play ever from all time with that kind of talent, even if some of it is aging talent. That many potential Hall of Famers, and I think they started the season with four of them on their power play, that underachieved to that level. And now, one of the biggest thrusts of the new season is we brought in David Quinn to help us fix this power play. We fired the guy who was in charge of it, probably against Sully's wishes. And now Sully's good friend David Quinn is here, and now everything's going to be fixed. Or at least we'll go from historically horrific to average, and that'll probably win us four more games or so. Instead, I turn it on last night, and it's Malkin making a mindless cross-ice pass to nobody that springs the other guys on a breakaway once he pushes the puck past Letang. And it becomes clear to me that, oh my gosh, it's the same people. There's no accountability for what happened last year, except the scapegoat of the guy who was running the power play. Right, Limits?
I'm just over it at this point. Like,
and Shelty is an issue unto himself with the accountability thing. He's practically said on the show here that he's not that kind of manager.
Yes, and that it's all in-house. We handle it internally. I just don't feel like that's the most appropriate way to go about it.
And then this thing that extends to poor Artie Smith having to say, yeah, I did the same thing with Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. Thank you, Limits, for making that point.
You're quite welcome.
And elevating the show to a whole new level today. Let's talk about that at 412-928-9370. The entire George Pickens situation. We got into this before Hokie came on. We'll play a Hokie clip from earlier today. Very strong words on Pickens. We'll play the choice clips from Pickens. And it's all happening in this context. Would you out there be inclined to sink big money into George Pickens after this season, as Jerry Dulac has reported the Steelers plan to do? At least that report was accurate a few months ago. Are you inclined, with everything you know, all the good, all the bad? There's been a lot of good with Pickens. Spectacular player at times and a productive one. Would you be inclined at this moment to say yes? Let's sign him to a 4-year, $90 million deal. You know what I'm talking, something thereabouts.